Home and virtual care has become increasingly common for elderly Australians, helping to free up hospital beds while keeping patients more comfortable. Recently, a Breakfast listener got in touch to tell us about her 92-year-old mother and how she was able to avoid a hospital stay thanks to an aged care rapid response team based out of Royal North Shore Hospital and Ryde Hospitals in Sydney. Longtime geriatrician Dr. James Hardy is the creator of that team, and I'm very pleased to say that he's my guest this morning on Changing Australia. James Hardy, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Geriatric medicine is a very specialised area. Do people outside the medical world understand really what you do?
Good question. I'd say in some cases, yes, if they've had experience with a relative, but otherwise, no. I've been mistaken for a dietitian or a nutritionist before, but yes, we're a lesser known specialty.
Tell me about this aged care rapid response team. What's the thinking behind it and how did it come about?
So basically, we're a team of doctors, nurses and a physiotherapist. And we'd certainly noticed for a long time, and there had been increasing research showing that older people are at higher risk coming into hospital and perhaps better served by being in their own environment. And so the idea is that our team goes out and sees them when they're unwell, and treats them there, whether it be with intravenous antibiotics or doing blood tests or x-rays, and hopefully keep them safely where they are and avoiding some of those risks of hospitalisation.
It's called a rapid response team. How important is that part of this service?
Yeah, very important. I think sort of historically, geriatricians would do home visits for more chronic or subacute sort of problems, but this is well and truly when people are unwell and thinking, look, I need an ambulance or I need to come to hospital. And so we'll treat the exact same sort of conditions that people would come to an emergency department for.
How does this fit into the bigger picture, James, when we've had a lot of stories about what's called bed blocks, so people being stuck in hospital, in some cases for more than 1,000 days because they can't get the place and or the care that they need outside of the hospital system?
Yes, that's a big and, by the looks of it, increasing problem, which is probably not too surprising because we've known for some time that the population is ageing, and along with that comes comorbidities and frailties and things that land you in hospital. I guess with our team, we're hoping to prevent them coming in the first place. Often when people come in, people find other problems and you end up stuck in hospital for a very long time. So hopefully we can take some of the edge off the front end of that. But there is still a big issue with the back end and the availability of aged care facility places for those patients. So it is still an issue.
How much can you see patients go downhill if they're kept in hospital longer than is needed, really?
Oh, very much so. So we see things like people catching infections while they're in hospital because it's an unfamiliar environment. Sometimes bright lights and people put needles in you and do tests and things. People can become very confused if they have pre-existing dementia and develop issues like delirium. Again, because it's an unfamiliar environment, people can fall over and end up with fractures that they might not necessarily have had if they'd been able to stay at home. We also see deconditioning, so people will come into hospital and be put in a bed and tend not to get out, or if they do, they get out in a risky manner. So all of these things can develop while they're there.
What needs to change more broadly in the health system to accommodate elderly Australians who might need some extra help or care, but to keep them out of hospital if possible?
Yeah, good question. I think there probably needs to be a bit more flexibility in how we do things, tailoring things more to the older patient who's perhaps less robust and less able to survive the rigours of hospitalisation. I think on a systems basis, you know, as mentioned, we need to look to things like nursing home bed availability, teams like ours. I mean, our team, for example, is only on temporary funding for most of our staff, and that's the case with lots of these teams across the country. There is some funding. There's a thing called the Strengthening Medicare Package, which is developed by the Commonwealth Government and the states to strengthen teams like ours and develop teams like ours, but it's still only temporary funding. So I think we need a permanent solution, and ideally some of that solution is treating people in their own homes.
How much does dignity come into all of this as well?
Oh, it's a huge thing, absolutely. You know, I can think of many examples where coming into a hospital is a much less dignified approach. You're treated like a patient, obviously, you put in a gown. you know, we try to keep to treat people the same, whether they're in home or in hospital, but there is a big difference, and people want to have their own choice of where they get looked after, and also at the end of life, where they spend the end of their life. You know, a lot of people when surveyed will respond that they want to stay at home if possible. But often practically that's not possible, and things happen suddenly that aren't anticipated as well.
What can also happen too in independence? If people normally were able to make their own lunch or make their own dinner, they're in hospital for an extended period of time, those meals are delivered to them. What do you see in independence as well, James?
Yeah, well, that's another factor too. I mean, I mentioned the deconditioning before, which is more about sort of getting up and walking, but there's also the de-skilling in the functional things. So at home, you're having to prepare your own meals, possibly do the shopping or the gardening, whatever it happens to be. And if you're not doing those things in hospital, then you become weaker and less able to do them. In some ways, hospitals defunctionalize people, if you like. Mm-hmm. I mean, we often will, you know, have people in a bed and the meal will be put on a trail on the other side of the room. There may be containers that are difficult for older people to open, particularly if they've got conditions like arthritis. So all of these things make it a lot more difficult to thrive in a hospital environment.
What's the evidence and the stats telling you about the effectiveness of this rapid response team which you're part of?
Yeah, well, I think there's to some extent a little bit of a dearth in statistics. There could be more. Our team has sort of collected some numbers over the years on what the intervention has done. We looked at back in, I think it was about 2017 or 2018, at how many patients were coming in from aged care facilities to our catchment hospitals. And we've tracked that as our team has expanded and been able to do more. And we've found that where it was roughly 70 people per month were coming into hospital from aged care facilities, we've been able to bring that down to less than 10 per month on average now. So I think we are making a difference, but I think it would be useful to collect data on this statewide and potentially nationwide as well to provide more evidence that we're doing the right thing and some evidence for people to hopefully provide us with some permanent funding.
On Changing Australia, my guest today is geriatrician Dr. James Hardy. This rapid response team isn't a 24-hour service, and falls and other medical issues can often happen out of hours. Would you like to see it expanded into further range for people who need help?
Potentially, yes. Having said that, I think when we've looked at the numbers, we do go into the after-hours space, but not 24 hours. And in the evenings, you tend to see a few fewer problems, probably because people are less up and about than they normally are. But I think potentially if you did have some cover overnight, it would make a difference for those patients who become unwell overnight or fall over, given that falling is actually the commonest reason for older people to present to hospital. So anything we can do to keep them safe at home overnight, I think would be a good thing.
What do you know about the extent of similar teams around the country?
So there are quite a few. Having said that, it's very patchy. Our district has supported the growth of three separate teams across our local health district. And I know across Sydney, there are some in southeastern Sydney, for example, who've been operating for many years. But across the state itself, there are still areas where there aren't teams. They're just starting to grow or starting to be developed. Interstate Victoria has a very good established hospital in the home service, but I think it's very much patchy across the country, and I think it perhaps could be a uniform approach to things, given these concepts and these problems are the same across the country.
Right before COVID hit, you were already running a telehealth trial for your service. Has that been a useful tool as well, even beyond the reach of the pandemic?
Absolutely. So we were very lucky that we did this trial of telehealth in the weeks and months leading up to COVID. And then when it did hit, one of our aged care facilities was actually the first in the country to have a COVID outbreak. So fortunately, by this time, the staff were at least somewhat used to using telehealth. And it meant that a lot of those patients could stay where they are and be treated where they were. For us, it's now become really standard of care for our triaging of patients. So if we get a phone call from a relative or the patient or an ambulance officer, then we can send them a QR code to join in the telehealth, and instantly we get a look at what's going on with the patient. And it helps us know, is this a condition that we could go out to their home and treat, or is this something that really we need to call an ambulance for? Because previously we'd get the phone call, worry what's going on, jump in a car, drive for up to half an hour to get there, and then discover the patient was either too unwell and needed to come in, or really perhaps we could have sorted it out over the phone or over the video conference. So we mainly use it really now for triaging what's going on and also for follow-ups once we've seen someone to see how they're tracking a day or two down the track.
Working as a geriatrician with so many older Australians, what have your patients taught you, James?
Quite a bit, I think. Probably one of the biggest things I've found is that, and not all the time, but at times we need to be a real advocate for our patients. I think there's a tendency for people to write older people off or to even discriminate against them based purely on their age or possibly if they've got some sort of sensory deficit or trouble speaking for themselves, that I think our role has to be to speak up for older people because, you know, essentially, unless one of us becomes horrendously unwell at a younger age, all of us are going to reach that age. And I think it's good that we, try to advocate for people.
Dr. James Hardy, thank you so much for sharing some of the details of this team and your work. Thank you very much for being my guest this morning on Changing Australia.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. James Hardy is a geriatrician and the head of the aged care department at Royal North Shore Hospital, talking about this aged care rapid response team, which is based out of Royal North Shore and Ryde Hospitals in Sydney, getting help to elderly Australians who need it and, if possible, trying to keep them out of hospital. If you've got a suggestion for Changing Australia, you can go to abc.net.au/changingaustralia and submit your idea.